Good morning. I am Al Wall, the Administrative Law Judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as the hearing officer for this hearing. This is the hearing of the revised application of Sequoia Energy U.S. Inc. for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a wind energy facility known as the Border Winds Energy Project. The project will consist of wind turbine generators and associated facilities located in Rolette County, North Dakota. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-08797. These proceedings are for the siting of the Border Winds Energy Project, which were initially commenced upon an application filed October 24, 2008, for a 150-megawatt wind energy project consisting of up to 66 wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Rolette and Towner counties, North Dakota. On September 25, 2009, Sequoia filed a revised application changing the project area to be located entirely within Rolette County, North Dakota. On November 3, 2009, the Commission conducted a public hearing of the revised application in Rolla, North Dakota. On September 29, 2010, Sequoia filed a revised site plan changing the location of turbines and associated facilities within the proposed project area. A public hearing of the revised site plan to be held December 16, 2010, was canceled because of winter weather conditions which precluded safe travel. And the hearing was rescheduled on December 20, 2010 to be held today. This hearing is for the purpose of hearing evidence relevant to those further changes of the design of the project for the consideration of the certificate of site compatibility for the project. And for the record, this further hearing shall be deemed a continuation of the prior hearings for the evidence offered as relevant to the current design of the project. Before proceeding with the hearing, I will ask the commissioners for their comments and any directions for the hearing. Commission Chairman Tony Clark.
Thank you, Judge, and thanks everyone for being here. I want to congratulate you. I didn't think anyone would have more snow than Fargo, having been there a couple of weeks ago, but I think that you may win the award for North Dakota this year, at least as far as I've seen. Those are impressive snow piles that are piling up outside. This, as the judge indicated, is one that we had to reschedule because of those snow piles that are up. We had a blizzard during the original scheduled date for this hearing, but you're not alone in that regard either. I think this is our third one that we've had scrap this winter in various locations, and it's just kind of one of those years in North Dakota. Just a couple of thoughts. As you know, this is the second time that we've had a hearing on this particular project. There were significant design changes that were brought to the commission's attention after having the initial hearing. And in situations like that, we want to make sure that we get back to the community in which the project is proposed, so that if there are any comments that anyone from the public has about the new design locations, that you have the opportunity to give those comments to us in person. And so that's why we scheduled this. As we've admonished in the past, we'll say it again, if you have anything that you want the commission to consider in regards to this case, this is your opportunity to do it, and we hope that you'll take that opportunity here today. Commission proceedings, if you have not been to one before, they tend to be fairly formal, so it may look a little bit different than a county commission meeting or city commission or a legislative hearing if you've been to one of those, but please be assured that we don't do it to intimidate you, and because we don't want to hear from you. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's just that state law says that we have to have a hearing like this. It also says that we can only make our decisions based on what is said here at the hearing. And so that's why it's so important that if you do have something you want us to consider, that you do so. There have been a few occasions over the course of my terms of office where we'll have a hearing and then someone about 5 minutes after the hearing is closed will come up to you afterward and said, "Wow, that was really interesting, but what you really need to know is this." Of course, at that point, I can't take any of it into consideration. So we do urge you to say whatever you have to say here on the record. Again, thank you for making the effort to be here today. Look forward to a good hearing. And, Judge, with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Commissioner Kevin Kramer.
Thank you, Judge. Thanks, everybody, again, for being here and for your level of interest in what is, by modern measures, sort of an average wind farm, but by most measures is really quite large. And I say that because we've experienced a phenomenal growth in this state in wind farms. And we have always had what America wants and needs, whether it be food production or energy production. We seem to lead the way as a state, and partly because we have citizens who are committed to that. It's always good for us to get out of the Capitol. It's especially good for us to get out of the Capitol during a legislative session, but it's especially fun to get to Rolla. For those of you who don't know, this is where I was born and lived the first few years of my life. My dad was a lineman for Baker Electric in those days, and have fond memories up here and still have a lot of friends. An interesting time, as I said, in terms of energy development in our state. But one of the things I think that makes this project especially interesting is that this is located in an area, quite honestly, that while North Dakota is enjoying a phenomenal economy, it's really second to none in the country. We are in an area up here that isn't enjoying as good an economy as other places, and so this presents an opportunity not only to provide energy for an energy-starved country, but also to provide some wealth and jobs creation in an area that could use a little bit of that. So we're excited about that. But having said that, it is our job to ensure that any development is done in a way that is appropriate, that is proper, that is well organized, that has minimal adverse impact on cultural and natural resources that are equally important to us, as well as the well-being of its citizens. So we look forward to a good and thorough hearing, and appreciate your attention.
Commissioner Brian Kalk.
Kevin and Tony always do such a good job of setting it up. I always try to figure out what to say, right? I'll just want to thank you all for coming out today, setting the place up. It's always good to be here. I look forward to hearing about the changes. And like Commissioner Kramer, I'm from this area too, grew up in Botno, and I was talking to some of you in the crowd today that you said you want this hearing to go quickly because the fish are biting on at Lake Epsilon. So anyway, I look forward to hearing your comments because now's your chance to say so. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Commissioner Kalk didn't tell that
prior to the hearing.
The record will show that it is a little past 10:35 o'clock a.m. January 24, 2010. The time and place noticed for the hearing of the revised application of Sequoia Energy U.S. Inc. for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a wind energy facility known as the Border Winds Energy Project, located in Rolette County, North Dakota. All as I have previously recited and as is set forth in the notice of rescheduled hearing dated December 20, 2010, and as is shown by the map which is part of that notice of rescheduled hearing, all is duly published by the Commission. The Commission's notice of rescheduled hearing for this hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon this hearing. 1. Will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? 2. Are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? 3. Will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Mr. Morrison, please state your appearance for the record.
Thank you, Judge Wall. John Morrison, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing on behalf of Sequoia Energy U.S. Inc.
Mr. Grumman, please state your appearance for the record and the appearance of Commission staff who will participate in the hearing.
Mark Grumman, Legal Counsel, Public Service Commission. Also next to me is Jerry Lean, staff, Public Service Commission. This time, I would move that Mr. Lean be allowed to examine witnesses.
Motion granted. Let me ask, please, if there is anyone present other than witnesses for Sequoia Energy who plan to testify or comment for this hearing. Good. Anyone else? Well, at the conclusion, as soon as we can, let me say that, I will take a recess. A short recess, we'll stretch our legs, and I'll be glad to visit with you if you like. I'll answer any questions I can, and if you have documents or papers, we'll get those, and you want those documents or papers to be part of the record for consideration by the commissioners, we'll get those marked as an exhibit, and we can do whatever is necessary to facilitate your testimony. I'll be glad to help you any way that I can. I should also say that if while you hear the presentation of Sequoia, it occurs to you that you want to say something, just because you didn't raise your hand or just because you didn't talk to me doesn't mean that you can't testify or comment. So let me tell you that I will not close this hearing until everybody has had an opportunity to testify or comment as you wish. So you'll be able to see the witnesses as they and the people who will testify and comment. And if when I ask for if there are any other people who have any testimony or comment on this matter, don't hesitate to step up, have a seat, and proceed if you later decide that that's what you want to do. All right, Mr. Morrison, you may proceed.
Thank you. As you indicated, there was a prior hearing in this matter on November 3rd, 2009. At that time, Sequoia offered the evidence, testimony from Ian Witherspoon and Rob Boutte. Since that time, there have been some movements of some of the wind towers caused by just the typical siting issues, and we did some filings with the commission. I would note that the filing was done on September 29th, 2010. At that time, we filed most of the exhibits we're going to be referring to today were filed at that time. We're going to offer further testimony today from Mr. Boutte to address the movement of the wind towers, the effects on the various criteria, and also a couple of other matters that came up in the last hearing. Before we do that, I've got three exhibits I'd like to offer in the record that were already addressed at the prior hearing. What those are is Exhibit 9, which was a late-filed exhibit. That's a shadow flicker study that was prepared for Sequoia Energy. That was requested at the last hearing. That was filed with the commission on September 29, 2010, but we would formally offer Exhibit 9 in the record today. Also at the last hearing, a representative of the United States Fish and Wildlife Service appeared and offered a letter and indicated that he would make some additional filing with the commission, and the record reflected that that would be marked as late filed Exhibit 12. I don't know whether that was ever filed with the commission, but Sequoia did receive on December 14th, 2010, just prior to the last scheduled hearing date, a letter from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And we have a copy of that letter, and we've marked that as Exhibit 12, which was a late-filed exhibit that was identified in the prior hearing. We're going to have the witness address that hearing and some other matters at the same time. And then finally, we received a request from staff shortly before the prior scheduled hearing in December about the certification from the representative of Sequoia relating to reclamation and trees and that type of thing. And staff wanted that to be marked as an exhibit, and we certainly don't have any objection to that. Mr. Ron Diddick, who signed that certification, is still employed with Sequoia and still has the capacity to sign that. And so we have marked that certification as Exhibit 13. So what I'd like to do at this point in time is offer Exhibits 9, 12, and 13.
Mr. Morrison, I thought I heard you say, refer to the wind flicker assessment as E9.
Just
did
nine.
I misunderstand
just
that?
Nine.
It's just,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's just 9. Very good. Mr. Grumman, Exhibits 9, 12, and 13.
No objection.
Exhibits 9, 12, and 13 are each received.
And then with that, we would like to call, or recall, I guess, Rob Boutte, who was one of the witnesses of the prior hearing.
Mr. Boutte, if you would have a seat, please. Mr. Boutte, as you know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I am required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Boutte, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. Mr. Boutte, you have prepared certain additional assessments and maps relating to this project since your prior testimony. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you filed most of that material with the commission previously. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm going to show you right now what we've marked as four exhibits. Exhibits 14, 15, 16, and 17. And just have you for now just identify, in other words, just tell us what those exhibits are.
Okay, exhibit 14 is the final project layout for the Border Winds Energy Project, updated August 9th, 2010. Exhibit 15 is the final project layout with exclusion and avoidance areas, updated on August 9th, 2010. And exhibit 16 is the same updated layouts showing turbine location adjustments that were made between November 3, 2009 and August 9th, 2010. And finally, exhibit 17 is Border Winds turbine adjustments between November 3rd, 2009 and August 9th, 2010. And that's a table that lists each individual turbine location adjustment.
And these exhibits were filed with the commission on September 29th, is that correct?
That's correct.
And also 14, 15, and 16 are the same maps that you've posted on the wall behind me, is that correct?
That's correct.
In large version. So if any of the audience wants to look at that as you're talking, they can go over and take a look at those.
Absolutely.
We will offer exhibits 14 through 17.
Mr. Grumman?
No objection.
Exhibits 14, 15, 16, and 17, as described by the witness, are each received.
Now, Mr. Boutte, I'd like you to describe just what adjustments were made and kind of summarize that for the commission. I'm guessing that Exhibit 16 might be the easiest exhibit to refer to. That's the one that shows the turbine location adjustments. But use any of those four that you'd like. But would you just go through and describe what adjustments were made and where the project stands now versus where it stood at the time of the prior hearing?
Okay. Prior to the turbine location adjustments, there were 66 proposed turbines and 10 alternate turbines. That's still the case. There is 66 proposed and 10 alternates. After November 3rd, 2009, there were 14 turbine locations that were moved, and there were 8 turbine locations that were eliminated. The eliminated turbine locations include 6 that were eliminated due to Federal Aviation Administration presumed hazard determinations that were related to the Rolla Airport. There was one turbine location that was eliminated because it was in a low area, and the 8th turbine location that was eliminated was located within 1,400 feet of an occupied home. At that time, to compensate for those eight turbines that were eliminated, there were eight new turbine locations proposed or alternate turbine locations identified. And there were, I stated earlier that there were 14 locations that were moved. There were 14 locations that stayed the same. And there were 54 locations that were moved. One of those moved as little as 6 feet. The maximum movement was 736 feet. The average was about 200 feet. And in general, the locations of the new turbines were farther from residential homes than the existing turbines.
And if you look on your Exhibit 16, can you tell me what the difference is between the green dots or the green notations and the yellow?
Okay. The the green dots are the old layout, the previous layout prior to November 3rd, 2009, and the yellow dots are the new proposed turbine locations, and then there are also red dots, which are the new alternate turbine locations.
And where you can't see both green and yellow, that's probably because the move is small enough that it's really superimposed, the yellow superimposed over the green?
That's correct. The yellow conceals the green in some cases because the turbine location movements were so small.
Now, with these movements of the 54 turbine locations and with the eight new proposed or alternate turbine locations, were any of the impacts to the exclusion or avoidance criteria of the commission increased? I mean, in other words, is there more impact to any of those exclusion or avoidance criteria than were discussed at the prior hearing?
No. In some cases, there were slight improvements in terms of relationships to exclusion and avoidance areas, slightly less impact, but in no cases was there more impact.
Move on to a little different area. I think maybe the first area we'll talk about is the shadow flicker study, and that we've marked already as Exhibit 9. But the shadow flicker study is also one of those documents that you filed with the commission on September 29, 2010. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you summarize what you've shown in that shadow flicker study and the results for the commission staff?
The shadow flicker study assessed the worst case scenario and then also a real case scenario in terms of the amount of shadow flicker at various sensitive receptors, which are the homes. The worst case scenario maximum shadow flicker was 47 minutes per day, and 47 hours and 24 minutes per year at one of those receptors. The real case maximum shadow flicker was 16 hours and 44 minutes per year at receptor M. And that real case of roughly 16 hours compares to a rule of thumb from Germany where more of this kind of study has been done. And they determined that 30 hours per year was acceptable as a real case, and so 16 hours roughly is just a little bit more than half of 30, so it indicates that the shadow flicker amount is going to be acceptable.
Can you explain for the commission what you meant about worst case versus a real case scenario? In other words, what assumptions go into your worst case scenario?
A worst case assumes that you've got constant wind and constant sun, so that the turbine blades are constantly moving and there's constant sunshine so that you have the most amount of shadow that's physically possible.
And the real case then accounts for both times when the blades wouldn't be moving and times when it would be cloudy and there wouldn't be shadows.
Right, and that's adjusted based on weather records.
And so in your opinion, is there any adverse impact resulting from shadow flicker on any of the residences in the area as a result of the proposed locations?
In my opinion, no.
I'm also going to show you what we've marked as Exhibit 18. Can you tell us what Exhibit 18 is?
Exhibit 18 is a response from Westwood Professional Services on behalf of Sequoia Energy to Terry Ellsworth of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding previous comments from the Fish and Wildlife Service and the updated project layout dated September 29th, 2010.
And that was written by you, is that correct?
That's correct.
You would offer Exhibit 18.
Mr. Gruen.
No objection.
And you've also seen...
Exhibit 18 is received. I'm sorry, Mr. Morrison.
You've also seen Mr. Ellsworth's letter, which we previously identified as late-filed Exhibit 12. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
The letter from December 2010.
Yep.
Can you summarize where you stand with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on their recommendations for this project?
We've coordinated with Terry Ellsworth of the Fish and Wildlife Service since his most recent letter, and in that letter he acknowledged some adjustments that Sequoia Energy had made to reduce potential effects on wildlife. And he also requested three items in that letter, which we have agreed to provide. One is construction staking. Staking of the construction limits in the locations where the project will overlap U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wetland easement lands. So we will stake the construction limits in the field and then review them in the field with Fish and Wildlife Service staff prior to construction. The Fish and Wildlife Service has also requested that there be an avian and bat protection plan prepared for this project, and Sequoia Energy has agreed to have that plan prepared. And the final request from the Fish and Wildlife Service was some type of post-construction avian mortality monitoring, such as a wildlife response reporting system that involves protocols to identify and report injured and fatalities of birds, and Sequoia Energy has agreed to that as well.
So basically, Sequoia has agreed to do what Fish and Wildlife Service has asked them to do.
That's correct.
Rob, I'm also going to ask you to identify what we marked as Exhibit 19.
Exhibit 19 is the Class 3 Cultural Resources Inventory, Class 3 Intensive Cultural Resources Inventory, dated August 10th, 2010.
And that document has been filed with the commission staff, is that correct?
That's correct.
And has it also been provided to the State Historic Preservation Officer?
That's correct.
We would offer Exhibit 19.
Mr. Gruen.
No objection.
Exhibit 19 is received.
Rob, does Exhibit 19 identify any potential concerns with historic places or archaeological kinds of, or cultural resources?
There's are a couple of resources, a few resources, cultural resources in the project area that were identified. There's are two features that are either on the list, National List of Historic, National Register of Historic Places, and those include the Coghlan Castle and the St. John's Border Station, the U.S. Customs Station. Both of those will be physically avoided, and both of those are protected to some extent by surrounding trees and buildings that form a visual barrier. There was one other potential cultural resource eligible site that was an archaeological site, and that location will be avoided because it was formerly to be affected by an access road to a turbine. That access road has been adjusted, so it will no longer be affected. And then finally, there's the railroad grade that goes between St. John and Rolla is a cultural resource site that qualifies as an avoidance area under North Dakota rules, and there are access roads to two alternate turbine locations that would need to cross that railroad, and those access roads cannot avoid impacting the railroad grade. Actually, the railroad grade has been abandoned, but because of the long linear distance of the railroad grade, it's not physically feasible to avoid the railroad grade with those road crossings.
So there really is no alternative to making those crossings, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's not just a matter of economics?
Correct.
Has SHPO expressed any concerns with respect to the St. John border station?
None with respect to the border station.
And what about the Coghlan Castle?
The Coghlan Castle, there were some concerns expressed about that, and we've coordinated with the State Historic Preservation Office about those concerns. We've also coordinated with the architect for Save Coghlan Castle, Inc. And the architect has indicated that she has no concerns about potential effects on the castle. And after coordinating with the State Historic Preservation Office, they've indicated that they have no additional requests or comments about the Coghlan Castle.
And I'll show you what we've marked as Exhibits 20 and 21.
Exhibit 20 is a letter dated December 14, 2010 from Bobby Hepper Olson, who is the architect and project manager for Save Coghlan Castle, Inc. And Exhibit 21 is a letter dated January 3, 2011 from the State Historic Preservation Office that indicates that they have no additional requests or comments.
We would offer Exhibits 20 and 21. I don't know if staff has seen these, and if not, I do have copies of them, too, if you'd like copies.
I see them.
I think it's the same ones we have in the docket.
Unless you want me to verify.
Can we just look at them?
You know, maybe just for, wouldn't mind just taking a look at them.
Exhibits 20 and 21 are each received.
The number on that in our docket is what? Do you have it with you? Or?
Y64.
64? Okay. I think.
No, I don't see that. I've got, I think I have the copy of the latest docket card, and I don't see that docketed.
Would you, you want copies? If you want it for questioning or something?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. one more exhibit. Rob, I'm going to ask you to take a look at Exhibit 22 and tell us about it.
Exhibit 22 is the North Dakota 10-year plan submitted by Sequoia Energy.
And that also was submitted in that September 29th submittal, is that correct?
That's correct.
We would offer Exhibit 22.
Mr. Grumman?
No objection.
Exhibit 22 is received.
Rob, in your opinion, will this project, as it's been amended, as you've discussed today, produce anything other than minimal adverse effects as described in North Dakota law?
No, in my opinion, it won't.
And does it meet the site evaluation criteria required by North Dakota law?
Yes.
In your opinion, is location, construction, operation of the proposed facility, as you've described it today, compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes.
And will the project also minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability, integrity, and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in a timely fashion?
Yes.
I don't believe I have any further questions or exhibits. We will rest at this point.
Mr. Grumman.
No questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Lehan.
Just one. This shadow flicker receptors here, are those all projects participants that are receptors?
The receptor M, which is the receptor that has the longest duration of shadow flicker, is a project participant. I'm not 100% sure if all of them are project participants.
Looking down the list, do you know about Q?
I will.
Oops, I'm sorry. That's. I'm looking at it wrong. That's P. I'm looking at.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lehan. Are you referring to an exhibit?
Yes, the
shadow flicker
study.
Is that Exhibit 17?
Exhibit 9.
Exhibit 9. All right. Thank you.
There's a map in the appendix of the shadow flicker study, but it doesn't state, it doesn't have the land ownership boundaries and landowners identified on it, so I can't state the answer to your question for sure right now, but we can definitely determine the answer and get that to you in the future.
So, Mr. Okay. Lehan, is that a request for a late file exhibit?
I guess if we were going to do that, well, not at this time.
Fine. Any further questions, Mr. Lehan?
No further questions.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
So I understand, and by the way, the maps that are attached to that shadow flicker, they're very good. They're helpful. Thank you. So the closest turbine now to a residence is beyond 1,640 feet. Is that correct?
That's correct with one exception, and I believe it's, and we don't believe it's actually a residence. But turbine Alt A3, which is in the very northwestern part of the project, is just over 1,500 feet from a structure that we believe is a hunting cabin.
Is it in Canada or the U.S.?
It's in the United States, okay. But it's literally, I think it's only a few hundred feet from the Canadian border.
Okay.
And at this time, there are no plans to use Alt-A3 as part of the project. It would only be utilized if some site suitability features, such as geotechnical conditions, make it so that other turbine locations are unusable.
Okay. How close is Alt-A4 to the border itself? Looks very close.
Oh, Alt-A4 is... I can't answer that precisely, but it would be at least, I think, at least 1.1 times the height of the turbine from the border.
Okay.
That's a minimum. If you need a specific answer, we can definitely look that up.
No, I was just curious if it was at least that distance. And then just a quick question on this SHPO letter. It was worded in a manner that I haven't seen, I don't think yet, in one of our cases where it sort of carefully worded. They don't say that there's no significant impact or no adverse effects or impacts. They just state that there's insufficient evidence to make a determination on the effect. Do you have any background on the discussions with SHPO? And I mean, what potential adverse effects might they have been thinking of that they can't determine whether there is or isn't? Do you understand that you can't speak for them?
There was some concerns because there's a proposed extension of a scenic byway that would run on Highway 30 that goes past the Coghlan Castle, and they had some concerns about potential for the effects on the view shed of the Coghlan Castle. We looked at that in some detail. We created a photo simulation of what the turbines would look like when the Coghlan Castle is viewed from Highway 30.
Mm-hmm.
And the nearest turbine to the Coghlan Castle in that view shed, I believe, is about 1.7 miles behind the castle. And what we found in the photo simulation is that the turbines are pretty well screened by the existing other buildings at that farmstead and by the trees in the shelter belt that go behind the Coghlan Castle.
Do you know which turbine number that is, or could you point me to, or just direct me to, where the Coghlan Castle is located on the maps we have?
Okay. Let's see. I can give you that information. The Coghlan Castle is on Highway 30. It's about 1.7 miles west-southwest of turbine J3.
Okay.
So on this map up here, which shows avoidance and exclusion areas, the Coghlan Castle is situated right here, and the nearest turbine is right here.
Okay.
About 1.7 miles east-northeast from the Coghlan Castle.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I only note, Commissioner and Mr. Morrison, you don't have much of a record.
Yeah, he can just describe it as the vertically striped lines that are identified as cultural resource adjacent to Highway 30.
On Highway 30, yes.
On Highway 30, that
would
be Exhibit
15.
Correct. That's all I have. Thank you.
Further You're questions welcome. From the commission? Commissioner Kramer.
You know, first thing, Judge, if I could, I just want to get my exhibits squared away. Somehow right. I got goofed up. Exhibit 8, what exhibit number is this chart?
That's 17.
That's 17. Okay, that's where I messed up. Okay. I guess I really don't have any citing questions, but I would just, out of curiosity, ask, since we've met last, how's the market look for the wind from this project?
That's outside my area of expertise.
I think Mr. Witherspoon is in the audience, and he can certainly bring him up afterwards. And
well, I want to be clear that, I mean, that's a curiosity question, Council. Sure. I don't want, you know, I want people to understand that we're not here to...
I understand.
...test the economics or anything, but I have nothing.
Commissioner Koch.
Thank you for your testimony. I think I would like a late-filed exhibit on the Mr. Lien's question about that, was it number P, the shadow flicker? If you could just send that and let us know if it's a participating landowner or not. That,
okay.
I'd ask for that.
Commissioner, if I might suggest, perhaps it would be better to have a list of, I'm sorry, I'm trying to recall, Mr. Lee, in your specific inquiry. Does this address?
It was the next closest tower, I think, wasn't it?
I asked about receptor number P. In the shadow flicker study, exhibit 9.
All right. So that was the extent of your inquiry.
And yeah, if we're gonna do it, maybe we should just get the whole
That's
list.
That's what I was gonna say.
Sure, that'd be fine.
All right. So then, Mr. Leon, help me with the scope of your inquiry. Then this would be a list of all
of
turbine
the...
locations affected.
No.
No. You want simply a list of all turbines that are not...
A list of the receptors.
Participant status.
And whether right. they are project participants or not.
If you look at... How about if we limit it to the receptors that show data on table 2? In other words, there's a whole bunch of them that have zero.
The table 2, I think, listed the ones that were more substantial.
It lists all of them, I mean, and about half of them have zero by them. Zero all the way across for shadow days, shadow hours. They're not affected at all. But if we just show any of those that have any impact.
What if we just, in the exhibit, identify which ones are non-participants out of that whole list?
That would be fine. I just want to know which ones
all
are
right. participants. All right, so exhibit 23 will then be exhibit... Mr. Morrison, two of what? Is that exhibit 2 of exhibit 19?
19, yes. No, I'm sorry,
9.
Table 2. Table 2 of exhibit.
Of exhibit 9.
Table 2 of exhibit 9 showing which turbines are not project participants.
Not turbines, but which receptors?
Some impact.
Okay, so those are described as the receptors?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right, that is exhibit 23 as a late filed exhibit. Which is exhibit 2 of exhibit table 2 of exhibit 9. Showing which receptors are project participants.
are not project participants.
All right. Table 2 of Exhibit 9 showing which receptors are not project participants. We got that?
Sounds good to me, Your Honor.
Although even if you did it the other way,
we'd figure it out.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get you the information.
All right. Very good. Mr. Morrison, any objection to the request?
No.
Mr. Grumman, objection?
No, Your Honor. No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 23 will be received as a late filed exhibit. Anything, any further questions, Commissioner Calk?
I do actually. If it's okay, Rob, I want to do a reviewing. When we were up here last time, we talked about the you know, the FAA and those turbines. It did seem close to the airfield. And it came back, and you talked about you moved some of the turbines because of the presumed hazard. I know it doesn't affect this project, so that's great. But just like to learn from you about what exactly was it the FAA said that was potentially the problem that caused you to move the turbines, so you can maybe use your knowledge in future situations. Well, each has to be on its own record, but I'm just curious what they told you.
Yeah, the turbine locations resulted in a presumed hazard, and when they run the turbine locations through their evaluation system at the Federal Aviation Administration, they look at the flight departure and arrival lines from the airport. So it related to the location of the turbines with respect to airplanes flying in and out of the Rolla Airport.
But was it, because we've had some other discussion in other areas about it throwing off avionics and things like that, was it mostly just the height problems, or was there more specific information they gave you than just, you know, the plane flying over the turbine and it could hit the turbine? I mean, was that the gist of it, or was there more to it?
They don't provide a lot of detail
they just say
in their letters. They just say that it's a presumed hazard. And we coordinated with them. In some cases, there's opportunities to coordinate further with the FAA on a presumed hazard determination. And if it's kind of a borderline situation, you can move the turbine a little bit or provide more information on the elevation of the ground level where that turbine will be located. In this case, the FAA told us via telephone coordination that wouldn't make any difference. I can't state specifically
sure
how they determined that, or what it was in their evaluation system that resulted in the presumed hazard.
Who is your point of contact with the FAA? Like, if could you pass that along, not for something official, but do you remember the name or the who you're dealing with? Is it somebody?
I don't remember off the top of my head. There was another staff member at my firm that did most of the coordination with them.
Okay.
I mean, we can certainly provide that name. I don't have
maybe
it
we'll
with
talk
me
afterwards
today
and sort that out. But thank you. That was really all that I had.
Any further questions from the commission? Commissioner Clark.
Well, and just following up on the airport, it would seem to make sense that the turbine locations that got knocked out were primarily those closest north and northwest of the airport, which would, I would guess, we're looking at it, does correspond with the orientation of the landing strip and prevailing winds, correct?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. Yes, and as it stands right now, the nearest turbine to the airport is approximately 3 miles away.
Okay.
And actually 3 miles away to the northeast of the airport, away from the orientation of the runway.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the commission? Follow-up, Mr. Morrison?
No follow-up.
Mr. Grumman.
I have no questions.
Mr. Lean.
I had one I forgot to mention. The railroad cultural resource that is being crossed, if I remember right, there are other things crossing that too, and the site is not totally, some of the integrity has been lost over the years on that. And if I remember right, SHPO had no problem with crossing it?
That's correct.
Okay. No further questions.
Any further questions from the commission? Mr. Morrison?
Nothing further.
Mr. Grumman? Thank you very much, Mr. Boutte.
You're welcome.
Judge Wall, you had indicated you want to take a break, perhaps, and talk to the prospective witnesses from the public. Maybe this is a good time to take that break, and I might put one additional witness on to respond to Commissioner Kramer's question, if they're comfortable, or if there's anything they can put on the public record. And so that'll be very brief, but other than that, we would rest. Right.
All right, let's be in recess for 10 minutes, or as long as it takes me, and I'd be glad to visit with anyone who would wish to testify or comment to the commission.